What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 208 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We're coming to you on a wonderful Thursday evening, post-TWAB. And man, was this a controversial TWAB that came out. Jeez, I don't know if I have seen such a strong reaction to a TWAB in quite some time. So I know that we said last week it was going to be a short podcast, and we ended up going well over a week. But this week, I promise you guys, it's going to be a short podcast because we are going to do another episode of Beneath Twin Suns. We're going to be talking about Season 1 of Clone Wars. But before we do that, man, the absolute elephant in the room is going to be transmog. So we got to talk about that once we get the housekeeping out of the way. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Ketcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I'm doing pretty well. I have been able to enjoy a pretty fair amount of Destiny this week, and I'm happy to be getting back into the groove. Of course, I'm following that up by going camping again this weekend, so I'm eating into my own schedule. But hey, it'll still be there next week, and I'm looking forward to getting back out of the mountains and diving back into the video game world again. So it's good. It's good, man. How about you?
Well, you know, there's no better time to take some time off than the end of the season, right?
Exactly.
It's pretty much the best time. So I spent last weekend down at a fly-in in South Florida, and I'm spending this weekend actually going scuba diving in South Florida as well. So,
nice.
I am also going to be out. I have played a little bit towards the tail end of last week. I think Monday I played a lot of Iron Banner, trying to just get back into the swing of things. It was not as fun as the previous Iron Banner. The change, the reversion to matchmaking was definitely felt in freelance, which is unfortunate. But, yeah, you know, I played a little bit this week. I finally got the Flawless Master Presage done. Shout out to Draw Breath and Jaeger, who helped me do it. We actually knocked it out on our first try, which was pretty great. So finally got that emblem. And yeah, I was kind of ready to just buckle in for another casual Destiny weekend, and then bam, they dropped the transmog info on us, and it seems like they just lit the fuse on a box of TNT that I did not know this community was sitting on. So definitely gonna have to discuss that, but first, we'd be remiss if we did not get the housekeeping out of the way. Do we have any new Patreons for this week?
So we do have a new patron to thank. I want to start by saying thank you to our ongoing sponsor, Guardians, ZenSoCal and Shazzle. And I also want to throw a new thank you to Unknown Soldier for joining as a patron over the last week here. I think just a day after our last episode, the same day our last episode dropped, actually. So thank you so much for joining us. Hope to see you in the Discord. Hope to see you out in the wild as well, and we really appreciate your support, as we do the support of all of our patrons. These Guardians are the ones that, you know, continue to support this podcast, to make this podcast something that we can do without having to worry about ads or sponsors or costs. So thank you so much to all of you for your generous support, and yeah, there we are.
Very nice, very nice. Always love to give a shout out to those patrons, and I am like counting down the days until we can hopefully welcome a new sponsor into the midst of well, because I now know who the new sponsor is, because I have seen them rocking that sponsor flair in Discord. So
yep.
You know who you are, and if it were up to me, we would have shouted your name out long ago, but the rules dictate that we have to wait at least a little bit of time. So hopefully next month in May, we will be welcoming a third sponsor of the midst, which is pretty awesome. So,
yep, two episodes from now, that's when the big shout out happens. So we're looking forward to it.
And we also do have a podcast review. This one is from Maddie Mailman via Apple Podcast. He says, "Wow, 5 stars! I found these guys after Jake was on DCP." So I don't actually know what he means by Jake. I'm not sure if he was trying to say Merc and it auto corrected to Jake, because I was on DCP a couple weeks ago, or if he's literally saying Jake, in which case the only person I can think of was Grenader Jake, In which case, I don't know why he would have found us after Grenade Jake was on DCP.
Maybe Jake gave you a shout out. I don't know.
I would be very surprised by that because I don't think Grenade Jake knows who we are. But regardless, he says, been listening to all their shows since, and I even go back to earlier podcasts to hear what they think of my favorite weapons. Very informative and insightful. I highly recommend this to anyone that likes to get into the guts of the weapons. Thank you very much, Matty Mailman. Please reach out to me on Twitter or Discord and clarify for me the Jake on DCP thing, because I'm going to go with my hypothesis that you meant to say Merc on DCP and it auto-corrected, but I am curious to know what it was that you meant by that. So thank you very much for that review.
Awesome. Yeah, very much appreciate it. Always love hearing the reviews. It's so interesting to me. You know, there are patterns sometimes in the things that people appreciate about us, which I like. Because it kind of tells us what we're doing right, what we should do more of. And then we always get kind of that personal touch, too, in there, which I appreciate seeing kind of what each person finds for them that they take away from the show or how they found us. So I'm a little curious now as well about the Jake thing.
I don't know what it was. But yeah, anyways, if you guys want your review read out, leave us a review on Apple Podcast and we'll read it out loud. If you can't leave us a review on Apple Podcast, I know not everyone listens on that. You're welcome to leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can even just hit us up on Twitter or Discord or even Reddit, or you can send it to me on Xbox Live and we'll read it out. So we really appreciate all the reviews. They help us out a ton. They help other people to find the podcast and other people to see, hey, we're not just a couple of kooks talking about some stuff that we don't really know about, that we actually maybe do have something to add to the community, which is nice to see.
All right, well, very good. I think we've blazed through the housekeeping so quickly that I'm just going to take a second to shout out the Discord for being super awesome and entertaining the past week, as it is pretty much every week. But I don't know. I felt like there was a lot of good conversation in the last week that I enjoyed lurking in, occasionally participating in. If you have not joined our Discord, but you want to be a part of the Massive Breakdowns community, that is a great place to jump in and meet some other awesome Guardians, some very intelligent, hardworking, smart Guardians who can teach you things, who can help you figure things out, who can just help you get through some nightfalls or some trials, or just have a good time doing whatever in Destiny. So it's a fantastic place.
I actually shouted out some of the Destiny Science guys last episode, kind of in general. I didn't specifically shout them out, and I got back into the Destiny Science channel this week, and I made it my mission to actually gather up a list of people, and this is, by all means, this is not everyone, right? But we do have a pinned list of super helpful tools at the top. So I felt like I should at least shout out the people who are in that pinned list. So I'm going to call. Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that, because those are tools that like we actually use.
And they're also tools that really the rest of the community should use, but they might not necessarily know about them. So I want to start by shouting out Van Holden. For the massive breakdown of reload speed, he actually came up with reload speed formulas for almost every weapon and archetype of weapon in the game, so that you can figure out how fast your reload speed is with a given stat. And then building on that, Sereni, God, I hope I didn't pronounce that incorrectly, but Sereni also did additional work on reload speeds and has a really wonderful reload speed chart out there that shows the reload speeds of various perks and things like that. So him and Van Holden did fantastic work on reload speeds. We've got Monks, which I used to call Mnemonics for the longest time until he rightfully corrected me that it was Monks, but he did some fantastic work. He did a weapon range calculator where he basically calculated the damage, the beginning of damage fall off and the end of damage fall off for every single weapon in the game, or almost every single weapon in the game, and then built a calculator which could actually show you, based on the given perks and stats that you had, where your range fall off would start and stop. Those two things, the range and the reload speed, are fantastic, fantastic tools for figuring out actually like numerically how good your weapon is going to be with a certain stat and with a certain perk combination on it, which is really fantastic.
Yeah, those are some very, very handy tools, especially if you're really trying to kind of fine tune your gameplay in different scenarios. I think we would be remiss if we don't also give some shout outs to Sky Warrior for Damage Chart Madness. Sky Warrior has collected and updated over time damage numbers for PvE, kind of focused on putting out DPS. And this is some of the most complete collected information as far as what weapons are actually good for taking down bosses in in-game that I've ever seen. So that's why I had to make sure I included it on the pin. And then kind of going along with that, there's a sheet by Court. It's Court in the Discord, but I think it's Courtroom on Twitter. Anyway, you would tag at Court in the Discord if you wanted to ask about it. But it's the Damage Buffs, Debuffs, and Modifiers sheet. And this, again, is just a super complete collection of everything that can affect damage in the game and what scenarios it affects it in and how it stacks. It's like almost overwhelming in its completeness, and it's a very pretty sheet as well.
Yeah, and him and Pippin have been really going ham on making their sheets just look super, super attractive. Pippin's got mods, abilities, and more, so pretty much every perk, mod, ability, anything that does anything in the game, pretty much he's got the details of how much damage it does, how long it lasts, just pretty much everything about it. And what's really fantastic is that the work by Monks, Holden, Court, Pippin, Dre, who does D2 Gunsmith, is actually working to kind of integrate all of that stuff into his platform so that you can see, like, when you hover over a perk in Gunsmith, it tells you exactly what it does. And a lot of that stuff comes from Pippin or comes from Court. And I think he's working to integrate Monk's range stuff and Holden and Serenity's reload stuff into it too, so that you can see actual ranges in terms of in-game meters and reload speeds in terms of seconds for all of the different weapons and things like that too, which is just going to be unbelievably amazing, because it will make... I told him the other day, I was like, you got to get Time to Kill in there too, because if you do that, it will literally be like a one-stop shop for everything you possibly need to know about any gun in Destiny.
Yeah, have to give a shout-out to Dre for d2gunsmith.com. When we are breaking down weapons, that is the website that we have up in our browsers to look at. It is just so easy to use. It's just like stupidly easy to use. I don't know a bigger compliment that I could give. It does everything that I've ever wanted any Destiny weapons database to do, and it does it easier and faster and better. It's really, really nice. So I love that site. Let's see. Obviously we've got to shout out the Massive Breakdown of Massive Breakdowns, which sadly is a little behind, but the
fallen by the wayside. Yeah. To be totally honest, I've done a shit job of keeping up with it. As Kutch knows, my life over the last year with my in real life job kind of took a turn. And it started eating up all of my time to the point where I was working 50 and 60 hour weeks pretty much every week, on call, what basically amounted to 24/7. And it really just made it to where any minute that I was not actually working, I really didn't want to spend doing more work, even for something else like that. So unfortunately, the written Massive Breakdowns have taken a pause. I'm hopeful that now that my new job has not shown the tendency to eat up every single free second of my life, that I may be able to swing back into it at some point in time. And there have been some times where I've literally been looking at weapons and I'm feeling the same itch that I felt back in the beginning, where it was like, I really want to know what role is the best role in this weapon. I should, you know, make a list. And that's how I got into it in the first place. So I'm feeling that itch just a little bit, but it kind of sucks that it's like we're at the tail end of the season right now. Like, there's not really a ton for me to break down. We've already done a bunch of podcast reviews on everything. So who knows? Maybe we'll see what happens in the new season. Season of Redacted.
There we go. The future is redacted.
Or, yeah, I mean, the future is something. I guess that leads us straight into the transmog discussion. And, man, like I said earlier, I did not expect I did not expect there to be basically be a war zone on Twitter. You know, Destiny, the game subreddit, is always a war zone. But man, they basically outlined for us how transmog is going to work. It is not the easiest system to understand. So basically, they said there's four steps you have to do to convert your armor appearance into a universal armor ornament. You have to defeat enemies to earn synth strand. Then you have to spend synth strand on bounties to earn synth cord. And then once you have enough synth cord, you can convert it at the loom in the tower into synth weave. And you can use synth weave to unlock or to convert an unlocked armor appearance, legendary quality or lower, from collections into a universal armor ornament. So man, they're just chucking three entirely new currencies at us, aren't they?
Yeah, I saw that. And I was like, that is a lot of steps. I mean, it's, you know, it's four, right? But at the same time, it's like, are those necessary? I don't know. They don't feel necessary. But, you know, at the same time, like, I guess we get Synth Strand just by playing the game. And then if we want to, it's the third step that I don't understand, honestly. That just seems pointless, right? I understand we get this whatever, we can go and pick up bounties, and we have to do the bounties in order to get in order to like unlock armor appearances. But I guess I feel like either like step one should like not be a thing, and we should just pay Glimmer for the bounties, like we do for every other bounty in the game. Or step three should not be a thing. I don't know. It seems like there's too much going on here.
I mean, to me it was like, what is even the point? Because I think DMG clarified on Twitter, it was like 150 enemies is going to earn you enough to get one of these bounties, right? And so it was like, okay, so I have to kill 150 enemies. Well, I'm going to do that in like one or two strikes, which is like nothing. I'm assuming it's going to be different for Crucible, right? So realistically, it's a trivial amount that is going to earn you enough to get a bounty, right? And then you have to do these bounties, and you have to apparently do multiple bounties to get a single synth weave, which you can then... So it's like, why not just combine all the bounties that we have to do to get the synth cord into like one giant bounty that gives us synth weave and just like let us pay for it with the amount of glimmer that we would earn from killing 150 enemies. So like, why does it matter? Like, yeah. I'm on board with, like, honestly, like I said this on Twitter earlier, and boy was that a shitstorm. Twitter's just been a shitstorm for me for the entire week. It's actually part of the reason why I want this to be a short episode. I'm like real burnt out on the Destiny community right now. But long story short, like, the thing that I'm actually most annoyed about is like how stupidly convoluted this process is, and yet simultaneously it's like it's not really as grindy as I would have expected it to be for this type of thing. It's like it's just unnecessarily convoluted. Like, just let us pay Glimmer for these bounties and make the bounty really long and have like five steps, so it's like kind of grindy, and then just let that unlock something that I can use to make a transmog armor. Like, I feel like that's all it really needed to be.
Right. Basically, we just get rid of steps one and three.
Yeah, and we just, like, you just make the bounties really long bounties. And there you go. It's like, how many things? So it's like, okay, say it's like five bounties. And each bounty is like, get arc kills or get some... Just combine those into one bounty that has five steps. And just, like, let me do all five of those steps, kind of like it's a quest. And just let me do that shit and let me grind these out. Then the thing that, you know, the thing that really set everyone off, like this was one thing, but the thing that really set everyone off was you will only get 10 of these per season, per character that you can do. So you can turn 10 pieces of armor per season, per character. So two full armor sets, basically, per season, per character into universal ornaments. The first season, you get double that amount because you get 10 per character for an introductory quest, right? So you get what amounts to four full armor sets per character the first season and two per character every season after that. I heard that, and my first thought was like, oh, okay, like, that's neat. Like, cool. And then you can buy more after that with silver, right? Which is always the way I assumed that this was going to go at some point in time. So I finished reading the TWAB and I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. Like, this is pretty nice, right? Like, I'm going to be able to transmog some stuff. Like, I'm pretty happy with it. You know, they're changing Eververse shaders to be from 40 bright dust into 300 bright dust, which I was also like, I don't care. We get like, what, 4 shaders up a season?
Well, and they're doing that because you don't use them up anymore, right?
So yeah,
you buy it, you have it forever. So.
And also at the same time, it was like, we only get like, literally, it's, I think it's like 4 shaders a season from Eververse. So that's like 1,200 bright dust. Like, I have 20,000 bright dust sitting in my thing. Like, that is a non-issue to me. Like, I didn't even bat an eye at that, right? Like, it completely escaped me. And so I finished the 12 and I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. Like, that seems like a good change. Like, I'm going to be able to transmog some stuff. Like, this, you know, it's stupid that they're adding in 3 more currencies. Like, the last thing we need in this thing. But, like, legitimately, I finished the 12 and the thing I was most upset about was that they were adding in what I felt like were 2 unnecessary currencies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought the problem was.
Go to Twitter. Boom! It's like a nuclear bomb has gone off. Everybody is freaking out. It's the end of the world. Bungie's greedy. They're trying to fuck the players. Oh my god, everything is ending. Holy shit. You know, and I posted and I was like, honestly, like, I'm not really that upset about the transmog things. Bam! Bungie apologists, blah 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 blah. You don't understand. And so what I've come to realize, I think, is that there are 2 types of players out there. There are players who have, and actually it was Glow on Twitter kind of pointed this out. There are players who have never played an MMO before and have never really had a transmog system before and are mostly like FPS players. And they're just kind of like, oh, neat. And like, those are the players who are like, I want to transmog like a few pieces of armor. And for those players, they're like, great, this is cool. Like, this is neat. This is perfect, right? And that's like me. And then there's the other players that are like MMO players who are like, I want every piece of armor I own to be a universal ornament. And those players, to them, this idea is unacceptable. Like, it is unacceptable that you would cap the amount of free transmog you can get. And I so firmly fall into the first group of those players that I'm like really, really, really struggling to empathize with the second group. But I'm gonna try.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, so like, I've played MMOs in the past, including ones where you can, you know, your, the appearance of your armor and weapons from the get-go, from launch, was independent of the stats. So you could combine 2 weapons and you would pick which one you wanted the stats from and which one you wanted the appearance from. And that was just how the game worked from launch. And so that was one thing. But that was like an actual MMO. This, I mean, I guess Destiny is an MMO. Sort of. Like, I don't know. I mean, PvP can only handle 6v6, apparently. So it doesn't feel super massive most of the time. But there are a lot of people online. It sort of qualifies in some ways. And there are certainly a lot of people, I think there's a lot of crossover players maybe who play Destiny as a more casual MMO, which is just funny to think about, right? For an MMO, this is a casual game. But so like, I get it. If that's sort of directly what you're coming from, I can see where you might consider this in comparison to be greedy. That said, the comparisons I have seen drawn to World of Warcraft are radically unfair because you're paying for World of Warcraft monthly. So they don't have to charge you for this shit because you're already paying for them to develop it. Right? And so any game like that where you're paying a monthly fee, they should be giving you serious quality of life updates on a regular basis, in addition to new content. Some of that new content you pay for separately as an expansion in addition to your monthly fee. Destiny, right, by comparison, is really cheap in comparison to any MMO. that has any kind of monthly fee. There are some MMOs out there that don't, right? And they are not big. And they don't have high quality updates most of the time. Everyone I know has their pet example that breaks this rule, and we'll just agree to disagree. And I'll say you love it, and that's great for you. But it's not huge, and there's probably a reason for that. So for me, it's like they don't charge us monthly, but it's a persistent online world. I can, you know, log in and interact with anybody anywhere in the world. And, you know, maybe I chill out $10 every 3 months for the new season just to get the loot drops. Like, I don't even have to do that. I could just not do that and still play the game. So this to me is like fine. Like, I don't need every piece of armor unlocked. I didn't wear most of that armor in the first place. Most of it I deleted immediately. Probably 85% of that armor literally was never used once. Some of it was never used because it had bad stats, but I will now use it as a universal ornament. There are a few sets I have my eye on already. But, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, just when you're making those comparisons, put them into the full context of how that game is making money and what you're actually paying, right? Like, don't focus on the details and say, oh, World of Warcraft has an uncapped, unlimited transmog for everything in the game. Yeah, of course it does. It fucking better. There's my F-bomb for the episode. Enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously having never played World of Warcraft, I can't speak to it at all. But to me, this was always going to be like, there was always going to be a monetization part of this, because this was not a light development lift. This was a lot of development time and effort that went into this. And the idea that they were just going to give it away for free is insane. Like, that's not the way Bungie operates. That's never been the way Bungie operates. Like, it wasn't going to happen, and quite frankly, I don't blame them. Now, could they have made it a million times grindier and given you unlimited? Sure, they could have. That's not the way Destiny is going right now. The way Destiny is going right now, it's the same way they made the Bright Dust changes last season. Yep. They made you get less Bright Dust overall, but for people playing a single character, it was way more Bright Dust. Me, myself, I generally, for the most part, only play a single character until the very end of the season when I start to branch out. I have way more Bright Dust this season than I have ever had in a season before, because the challenges ended up giving me more Bright Dust because I did all of those on one character. The challenges ended up giving me more Bright Dust than having to do bounties on three characters did. Even though if I was maxing out three characters, I got less Bright Dust, right? And that in the season pass. That ended up working out better for me. What that did is it meant the person who is a dedicated player, but not quite a maxed out player, does quite well. And everyone under that player does quite well. This transmog system is very similar. Like, I'm not someone who needs every single piece of armor. And quite frankly, the system that they describe doesn't seem to be tremendously grindy. So what it makes it seem like to me is that I'm quite easily going to get 60 pieces of armor set as universal ornaments next season. And then, you know, 30 every season after that. Without a ton of effort, without a ton of grinding. And if I want to do more, then I can pay silver for more, right? The alternative is, I think the most black and white alternative, is that they made the shit super grindy from the start, and they made it unlimited, but then that hurts every single player that's not like the most hardcore player who's trying to grind the shit out, right? And then people would be complaining, oh my god, look how fucking grindy you made this shit. Like, you're just trying to sell Eververse, you're just trying to sell silver. Well, it's like, well, of course they are. This probably took them a ton. This was a very, very expensive lift. This is an entire revamp of our cosmetic system in the game. This was an expensive lift. It was always going to be monetized. Now, That being said, we did get a great question from Gilded Cavalier. And I want to enter into this earlier than we normally enter into the community questions, because I did ask them specifically this time. Could you give us some community questions based on Transmog? And again, we're going to shout out the Discord. The only place, I used to go to Twitter for it. I don't like Twitter. I'm in a feud with Twitter right now, so I'm done with Twitter. So the only place I will be going to ask for questions from the community from now on is Discord and our podcast discussion channel. So if you want to get a question on the podcast, go to the podcast discussion channel, ask it there. But Gilded Cavalier says, I know you're not particularly upset with Transmog, but do you have any advice you might give Bungie about how to go about it, since we don't have it quite yet and the current feedback seems pretty negative? So knowing what we know, Kutch, how would you answer that question? If you could tell Bungie what to do with Transmog, would you say it's fine how it is? Would you say, I think you should change some stuff? What would you do about it?
Well, excellent question. I would definitely tell them that we don't need three currencies. That we really should just have bounties, and then like the one reward material that the bounty gives us that unlocks stuff as an ornament. Like, that's really all it needed to be. And everything above and beyond that is just silly. Like, I honestly hoped that this was going to be some kind of thing, you know, where we had like a tree of things that we had to unlock, I don't know, different ornaments, or that they were going to come up with some more engaging way to do it. But if it wasn't going to be engaging, then it needed to be simple. And what they've given us now is neither engaging nor simple. So I think it's a miss as far as the steps required to actually unlock them. That said, it doesn't seem hard. So it's not engaging or simple. At the very least, it's not hard. As far as we know, the bounties sound straightforward. So I can't really be upset about it. I'm just not excited about it. As far as the cap goes, honestly, I think that they were damned if they did and damned if they didn't. I don't think that there was a way that they were going to announce that was going to make everyone happy, unless it was just that all of our armor is universal ornaments and we don't have to do anything. I think that's the only thing where nobody could have complained. And somebody probably still would have, but, you know, there's always that one guardian. You know the one. But that said, I don't think that there is a viable solution to make everyone happy here. I think they went with the solution where most people who don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter talking about Destiny are going to be very happy. And, you know, maybe, you know, they did the Bright Dust change, right, last season, and people griped, and then it died down, and I haven't heard anyone complain about it. I'm sure there are still some people, now that I've said it, who are going to let me know they're still unhappy.
It's because it actually worked out better for the vast majority of players. Like, that's why Bungie made that change. It hurt the you know, the grinders at the top end, but it worked out better for a vast majority of players.
It did. And I suspect that that's what's going to happen here. Most players are going to be able to get some armor sets that they've always wanted to wear but couldn't, because they never got good rolls on them, or they were sunset, or whatever. And they're going to be happy with that. I'm going to be happy with that. I'm going to be rocking Future War Colt 24/7. It's going to be awesome. I'm so psyched. That's really, you know, all I need. 2-3 armor sets, I'm good. I'm done. Obviously, other people want more than that, and I respect that. Destiny is a game that offers a lot of things to a lot of different types of players, which is great. But like you said, they also had to make sure that they were going to get some kind of return on investment, and I also respect that. Bungie is a business. Destiny is not a charity. We all pay for entry, yes, and we get a lot for that. I think a lot of value. when they add new stuff like this that is cosmetic. It's not pay to win in any way. It doesn't affect the outcome of a Crucible match or a Nightfall attempt or a World's First race. You know, for me, I can't really be super mad that they've capped it. I just can't bring myself to agree with that viewpoint. So I don't think I would really tell them to do anything about the cap.
I mean, I honestly, and this is actually another community question, but I actually always thought that it was going to be capped. Like, the idea that it would be unlimited, and, you know, saying this now, the idea that it would be fully unlimited actually never even occurred to me. Like, I thought with 100% certainty it was going to be capped, which I guess is probably why I'm not feeling like betrayed or anything like this. But, you know, knowing now how the community feels about it, what I would probably do outside of simplifying the system to get the transmog stuff, which I think is a no-brainer, is what I would probably do is I would probably make the first 30. Number one, I wouldn't make it 10 per character. I'd make it 30 per account, right? Like, I think that that's the better option. I don't like the per character splits. Haven't liked those in a long time. I just make it 30 per account. And then what I would do is after the first 30, there's like a different, significantly more grindy set of bounties that basically like slows your pace of gaining them to a crawl, but still allows you to accrue them if you really want to put in that effort. And so it's not like a hard cap, but for most average players, like, it might as well be a cap. Like, you know, you gain 30 in the first 2 weeks, and then maybe you gain like one a week for the rest of the season. You know, like, I do something like that where it's like, look, you want to grind, then, you know, grind your heart out, right? But it would still, so it's not literally capped, but it would still encourage some sort of monetization strategy on top of that.
Sure. It could always be something where the costs of the bounties increase additively over time and never go down, never reset.
So Hunter, another one of our patrons actually, said, how did you think that the transmod tokens were going to be distributed before today? What I thought, he said, personally, I wasn't expecting much more than a single weekly bounty for a token. So 10 per season is about what I was expecting, given the average length. Although the multi-step process seems unnecessary, he does add jokingly. That being said, I guess Ada was the correct vendor for this, given the amount of needless steps and return to the tower. If you guys remember Black Armory. But so what I actually thought is I thought they were going to tie it into two potential things. I thought they were going to tie it into the seasonal challenges. What I thought was you'd probably get, you know, between, I thought probably like three a week, right? Like, I thought that you would get, the seasonal challenges would reward them, right? Like, there'd be a seasonal challenge for Trials, or there'd be a seasonal challenge for Nightfalls, or there'd be a seasonal challenge for Crucible, and like, it would be a reward for the seasonal challenges, the same way like Bright Dust is a reward right now. Like, I was pretty certain that they were going to kind of do something like that. Or that was going to give you the currency, which when you would then go to Ada and like transform into what you needed. And the second thing I thought they might do is I thought they might use the season pass, where like kind of how right now you get a Bright Ingram every three levels after 100. I thought maybe they would give you one of these every three levels after 100, like along with a Bright Ingram. Or that maybe they would have a potential to drop inside of Bright Ingrams or something like that.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say, I always thought it was going to be, you know, relatively limited. I thought, how many weeks do we have in a season? Like 12? So at three a week, typically, I thought it was going to be closer to like 36 that you could get guaranteed. And then there'd be some way to like, pretty much what I suggested is what I thought was going to happen. I thought there's going to be like, you could get, you know, three per week from seasonal challenges, and then you could maybe get one every few levels you leveled up and the seasonal pass. Like, that's kind of the way I thought I was going to do it. And if that wasn't enough for you, then you bought more. So I always thought it was going to be like front loaded and then a slow drip. I didn't necessarily think there was going to be like a hard cutoff. But at the same time, like, the amount that we ended up getting, when I first read the TWAB, and I said this on Twitter too, like, I thought it was 10 total. Like, total, not like per character. I thought it was like 10 total. And I remember thinking like, oh, well, you know, that's a little stingy, but, you know, that's not too bad. Like, I should be able to work with that. And then I went back and I read it again. I was like, oh, it's 10 per character? I was like, oh, that's like at 20 the first? I was like, oh my God, like, that's definitely enough for me. But the first time I was like 10, I was like, well, you know, that's a little stingy, but that's not too bad. I'm like, okay, I can do that.
So I sort of assumed that it was going to be in some way like a callback to Black Armory, that it was going to work in some kind of similar fashion where we had bounties and there was, you know, maybe a limited number that you could get each week, and, you know, or the way that it sort of worked with the Stranger, where you could pick something up and then you can go, you know, you can only pick up, say, two at a time, and then you can go and do those and you get, you know, whatever your trinket is that you go and you trade in for your token to transmog. And so I guess I, from that viewpoint, I did assume that there would be a cap simply because it would be, you could only do so many per week. And I didn't know what that number would be. I didn't really think about it. But yeah, I assumed it would be bounties. And I guess I was right, if we just ignore the two excessive steps. But that is a good call out, Hunter, that Ada is in fact the correct vendor for excessive steps.
All right. Well, I mean, I feel like that's pretty much all we can talk about with transmog. So I do want to spend some time getting to a couple other community questions. Unless you have anything else that you would like to mention while we're here about transmog.
No, let's go to some questions.
All right. So first question is going to be a question that was actually asked earlier in the week. It's by Medic FMF, another patron, actually. He says, if you were designing an MM system for PvP, what would it look like? And, you know, I was like ready to go off on a big, long tangent. Like, we could do a whole episode about this. And then T-Dot comes in there wonderfully and says, let me take a guess about what Merc and Kutch would say if they had to suggest an MM system. So let me read out, and this is, I quote, exactly what he says in the Discord. He says, there are no freelance modes, and it's control-based matchmaking, but it tries to match solos with solos and fireteams with fireteams, especially with larger 5 and 6 stacks. This is important to not split player populations. Then it does schoolyard lobby balancing, because that seems to be a good thing to try beyond IB. And if there are SBMM modes, then your skill-based matchmaking ranking is clearly visible, so you know why the matches are so sweaty and you have something to work towards. And I think you chimed in right after that, and you were like, wow, somebody's been listening to our episodes, because, man, if that wasn't spot on exactly what we would have said had we had the opportunity to ramble about it.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say. I'm not specifically opposed to freelance modes, except that it can split the population and hurt matchmaking. And specifically, having played some PvP on PC, they really need less playlists on PC. Like, they need like one playlist. Because the reason that I stopped playing PvP on PC, and now I said before that I probably would not play a whole lot of it on PC, and I tested the waters and confirmed that I will only play PvP on console. And it's not because the smaller population is harder, and maybe like kind of it's not because I run into more high skill players, although I do. That wouldn't be enough to make me switch. It's because I run into a lot more lag and a lot more situations where I die, and then somebody teleports and it highlights them as having killed me, and I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. And that's just, that is what makes me stop playing. So less playlists in general will help that for everybody, because I know that that does happen to some people on console who maybe have weaker connections or live in lower population areas. I'm fortunate to live next to some major cities, so population is always pretty high in my region, but I'm lucky in that way. So yeah, that would be the only thing where I'm a little iffy is on the freelance modes. I think can be a good thing, or at least something that encourages people to play who might otherwise not.
Pretty good. Pretty good further explanation.
There you go. I'm talking a lot this week, and it's making me very thirsty.
It's because one of the questions was, can Kutch host an episode instead of Merc?
That's right.
And I said when Kutch edits the episodes, then he can host them. Until then, I will be the host. But I'm doing my best to let you talk as much as you possibly can. So, next question.
I'm going to have to get a beer for the Star Wars episode, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I already had quite a few drinks tonight, so I'm on water because I do have to get up and work tomorrow. And I'm supposed to edit this. I'm already telling you full stop. I'm not editing this tonight. I'm going to edit it tomorrow morning. So it's happening, especially for doing a Star Wars episode. But we have another question. Ivan F. Karamazov says, if you could buff fusions, how would you do it? I find their spread to be extremely poor, except when I use Firm of the Pen and tap the trigger. This is an easy one for me. I would buff the damage of every fusion rifle, and I would widen the spread in terms of, not the bolt spread, but the spread in terms of the charge rates. So I would actually drop the charge rate of the rapid fires just a little bit, and I would, I would drop the charge speed, or no, the charge time. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. I would drop the charge time of the rapid fires a little bit so they charge faster, and I would increase the charge time of the high impacts so they charge slower, but I would make them do more damage so that they'd be more consistent at longer ranges. So I know that everybody's like, oh God, no, Arentil again. But it's like, yeah, but if you give Arentil like a 1 second charge time, you know, that's going to make it a very high risk, high reward gun. So I think that would be a fair way to do it. I think it would increase the usage of all the lower impact ones without making the higher impact fusion rifles overpowered.
Fair enough.
All right, Super Say comes in. Good Lord, Super Say, man. He's a patron, and he had so many questions that he left in the podcast discussion. So he says he's listened to episode 202, where you propose ditching a seasonal activity in favor of revamping the vendors. My question is, Bungie still needs something to sell this season. How do you propose they do that? Considering they can't lock quality of life upgrades behind a paywall, because that would go over horribly. And my thing was is that nobody's buying the seasons right now for the seasonal activity. People are buying the seasons for the dungeons, they're buying the seasons for the new exotics, they're buying the seasons for the new armor, the new weapons, like the new strikes potentially. Like, that is why people are, although I guess strikes are now all free to play, aren't they? Or is it new strikes are locked behind the season?
But, I think, you know, new strikes are generally locked for the first season they're out.
Yeah. So regardless, the reason why I'm, number one, a season is only $10. It's not a ton of money. The reason why I am buying the season is because I want the new weapons and the new armor and potentially the new dungeons and the new exotics. That's why I'm buying a season. The seasonal activity is usually the shittiest part of the season and the part of the season that I enjoy playing the least. So
the seasonal activity for me is just like a fun thing to do for the first 2 weeks of the season. And a path to maybe unlock some more of the seasonal gear if there's anything that I want to farm. But, you know, if there was an easier way to farm it, I'd do that.
And then the second question he has, which is entirely unrelated, is which archetypes of weapons would you straight up remove to make things more balanced, less easier to balance? If I had to guess, you would consolidate fusions into one archetype, you would remove linears from the game, and then you would whittle down grenade launchers and rockets as well. So actually, that is incorrect. I would not consolidate the fusions. I would do to what I just talked about to Ivan to buff the fusions. I would actually be going through and I would be doing things like I would be whittling down sidearms, which right now have 6 archetypes for some reason. They have a full auto archetype, 2 burst archetypes, and 3 single shot archetypes. I would probably whittle those down. I would whittle down SMGs, which have 4 archetypes, of which 2 of them, lightweights and adaptives, have a difference in damage of like 1 or 2 and are basically indistinguishable from each other. I would get rid of rapid fire auto rifles entirely. Because we have aggressive SMGs, which serve pretty much the same purpose. Actually, no, switch that. I would get rid of aggressive SMGs, and you know that's actually a hard one. They're both just so. I would probably get rid of rapid fire auto rifles. I think we have better aggressive SMGs than we do have rapid fire auto rifles.
At least
that might be a controversial one.
That would be a controversial step. I think they would have to get rolled into the same class, which really they should be anyway.
Yeah.
I think the big point is that almost every group of weapons could stand to have less archetypes.
Yeah, but specifically, like, those are very unused, and there's almost no difference between them, right? Like, some stuff, like scout rifles and pulse rifles, there's like at least different fuels, right? Like a rapid fire doesn't feel like a lightweight, doesn't feel like an adaptive pulse rifle, right? Like there's all these feel different. The precision and the adaptive SMGs feel the exact fucking same. Or not the precision, the lightweight and the adaptive SMGs feel the same. Like precision and adaptive sidearms feel the exact same. Like there's such little difference between them.
I would also add, well, no, I guess I take that back. Never mind. I think personally, I feel that that pulse rifles have too many archetypes right now. And really just none of them are actually competitive at this moment. That may change, but there's just a ton of archetypes going on there. I don't think it's necessary, but I think that's true. Like you said, for several of these SMGs, sidearms.
Yeah, I would compress all the LMGs probably just into the adaptives, honestly. Like pretty much all heavy weapons I would compress down into like a single archetype, right? Like there are only two rocket launchers that really matter, and it's the precision tracking and the high impacts. None of the other rocket launchers matter. None of the grenade launchers really matter. Just compress them all down into the fastest rate of fire grenade launchers. Like none of the LMGs really matter for the most part. Like certainly no one is using the rapid fires. Everybody wants to use the adaptives, but we don't have a ton of them. You know, bows, just make them all do precision damage, but make them have lightweight, you know, draw time. Like nobody's really going to care. No, you know, nobody's really abusing bows. Like, you know, if it were honestly me, and like I were designing a game from the ground up, I wouldn't have more than two archetypes of any type of weapon, just like flat out. Like that's where you build from, is that base. And then you only add stuff in when it's like truly unique and truly does something different. Or it's like, hey, we have an auto rifle that does this much damage, but it has shit terrible stability and like pretty good range. What if we made an auto rifle that does the same amount of damage, but has like terrible range and much better stability? It's like, those are two very different guns. Right now we have a bunch of shit that basically functions the exact same, with the range distances being on the order of like single digit meters. And it's just like, it's so unnecessary. It's caused so much bloat in the sandbox, and like it's really just, we just don't need to have them all. Like I would just dump a whole ton of stuff.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's a lot of excessive complexity that doesn't actually serve to give us meaningful choices.
And then last question from a patron, which by the way, guys, if you haven't noticed, we do prioritize patron questions here. So that's a throwback to when we told the patrons we would answer their questions in the patrons corner every week, and then we just completely abandoned that and stopped doing it. So we do prioritize the patron questions here. Trillside says, is double primary still viable, Sturmdrang and the Midaset in particular? I don't know shit about Sturmdrang and the Midaset, but I run double primary all the time. I run double primary with Symmetry, because Symmetry occupies my energy slot and I can't use Bastion in the kinetic. So I usually run like Messenger or an SMG or something. I don't actually use that other gun. I just have to fill the slot with it. I pretty much only use Symmetry when I'm using Symmetry. So yes, I will say that double primary is still very relevant.
You know, I think I'll give credit to Gilded Cavalier for coming in with the true answer there, which is it's not a top tier competitive choice because special weapons are special. And if you're not using them, you are holding yourself back in some ways. And at least if you're trying to play any kind of competitive gameplay. But that said, if you're just really good at Destiny, yeah, you can do double primaries. It's not a big deal. You can also do it strategically if you don't want to give the other team special and you're not good with shotguns or snipers or, you know, fusion rifles. I mean, Bastion. If you're not good with shotgun, snipers, or Bastion, that's what I should have said. There we go. Go with that one. Then sure, run double primaries, and at the very least, you're not handing out special ammo. So, there are reasons.
You know, what I'm embarrassed about is that we actually have another patron question that I missed. And even worse is it's a question about transmog, and we really should have answered earlier. And then I'm also embarrassed because we actually have a second question about transmog that I also missed. I should have, what I usually do when I'm not lazy is I usually gather all the questions and I put them into a little document and I organize them in order of how we should answer them. But I've just been like scrolling up and down the podcast discussion Discord channel and like picking them. And so it's not surprising that I missed a couple. So
I know I've been trying to follow you and it's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm literally just like bouncing around. It's real bad. So Inhuman Muchu says, if you guys are into the fashion game, what's your favorite white, blue, or green armor set? Will you be transmogging any non-legendaries? I will probably transmog the starter white set. I, honest to God, can't remember what a single set that is not a legendary set looks like for any of my characters. Like, I don't know the names of any of them. I can't remember what any of them look like other than just the starter set. So that's probably the only thing I'm going to be transmogging.
I mean, that's, I would say that's certainly not going to be the first thing I do, but at some point, I'm a big fan of like helmets that I like. And so I do recall specifically the Shadow Spectre suit. I like the helmet. And so I may at some point pick that one up. And then probably I still have my white armor. So I guess I might as well turn it into an ornament and delete it.
Finally, after all this time.
Finally. I knew it would come in handy, and I was wrong, all right?
Yeah, yeah. It never served any purpose at all.
It absolutely was a waste of space. But you know what? Shut up.
All right, and then finally, Public Key says, is transmog the result of a very vocal minority screaming loudly, or is it actually a system that may be used by a majority? Is the development investment really worth it when this game has core game loop issues that could benefit first? So that's actually two questions. Is transmog the result of a very vocal minority screaming loudly, or is it actually a system that may be used by a majority? It's actually both of those things. I mean, there was 100% a very vocal minority that screamed that they wanted transmog, whereas a large majority of players could have gone the entire lifetime of Destiny without having it. That being said, now that it's in the game, it's 100% going to be used by the majority.
Yeah,
I don't know that there's anyone in the game who's just going to be like, nope, not going to use transmog, don't want it, right? Like somebody, every player who gets to that point is going to use it at least once, I feel like. So both of those things are true.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you get to the end game in Destiny, the fashion game is a very real option to pursue. And transmog makes it a much more rewarding option than trying to chase usable roles on the armor that you want, or trying to play with, you know, armor that has bad roles. So,
yep,
there you
and
go.
And he said, is the development investment really worth it when this game has core game loop issues that could benefit first? Well, of course not, except for they can monetize it. You know, improving core game loop issues is a difficult thing to monetize because you're basically hoping that you either bring lapsed players back or you bring new players in. And that's difficult to do with core things, right? Like it's difficult to advertise, although they could do it, but it's difficult to advertise. Like we fixed PvP and hope that that brings a bunch of new players into the game. It might bring some lapsed players back. In fact, it almost certainly would, but that's not necessarily the moneymaker that you really want it to be. Transmog, on the other hand, especially with the way they've set it up, is very likely to be a huge, huge moneymaker. So is the development effort worth it? Well, yes, in this case, because they're monetizing it. If they weren't monetizing it, no, 0% chance. There is no way transmog would have ever happened if they couldn't monetize it.
And I think that is the theme of the episode for today. You know, I know there are people who are listening who are going to disagree with us on that point. I respect your viewpoint, and I guess hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, that's it, man. Like, transmog wasn't going to happen if they couldn't make some money on it. And quite frankly, even if you only get 30 a season, it's better than what we have now, and you don't have to pay shit to get those 30. So, you know, for the collectors out there, I feel you, I really do, but I think we gotta call it a wrap.
Okay. Well, that is the perfect spot to bring another episode of Massive Breakdowns to an end.
Although we have to be very careful that we hit the 59 minute and 30 second mark so that with the intro music and the outro music, we surpass 1 hour, because when we don't surpass 1 hour, we get way less listeners on an episode than when we do surpass 1 hour. So it's very important that we drag these last couple seconds out So we can get to that level, and there we go.
Nice. Well played. I hope that you all stuck around to hear these last very impactful moments of the episode.
Well, you know they do, because normally we just, like, end the episode, and we're just, like, done. We're like, okay, and the conversation's like, all right, and we're bye, goodbye, it's like outro music roll. So this is, like, a very unique circumstance for us.
This is, like, one of those post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
But not one that actually furthers the plot, one where they're eating shawarma.
Yeah, and just hanging out and chatting. So, well, you know, what you guys really should stick around for is Beneath Twin Suns, our Star Wars podcast, which we're going to be recording next. Because I'm lazy as shit, there's a very good chance that Beneath Twin Suns actually gets out before Massive Breakdowns does. But we're going to be talking about Clone Wars Season 1. So if you do happen to listen to Massive Breakdowns first, please go back and listen to Beneath Twin Suns if it is already out afterwards, or wait for it to come out if it has not come out yet.
Just to be clear, it'll be out first because he doesn't edit it.
100% the truth, I do not. It makes it so much easier for me to do that stuff. Is I just like line it up and I like put a couple noise gates on it and I'm like, bam, out the door. And that's that episode. And I actually really appreciate doing that. But I'm telling you guys, it's pretty good. I have never listened to one of our episodes from start to finish as a listener before. I obviously listen to all of them when I edit them, right? But like I don't sit down and I don't listen to our own episodes for fun. Despite what it may seem like, I actually don't listen. I don't enjoy listening to myself talk that much. Despite the fact that we have a podcast, which is just nothing but us talking. But I sat down and I was at the gym, and usually I listen to my Star Trek podcast. And my podcast was the first one that came up, and I was like, oh, well, give it a listen to it. And an hour later, I listened to the entire thing. I was like, holy shit, that's literally never happened before. Like, nice. I don't know how I just listen to myself and you talk. I mean, I know how I listen to you talk, but like, I don't know how I listen to myself talk for literally an hour.
That was a good save. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. So if that's any indication, like, I think it's pretty all right.
Okay. Well, there's a sterling review of Beneath Twin Suns, a podcast I am very excited to drink and record momentarily. Okay, this is definitely going to be 60 minutes. Peace.
There we go. Later.